that we just set the record for the shortest executive session ever. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Matt.
I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Sublette County opt in to the Kane County versus United States lawsuit on the payment in lieu of taxes.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we authorize the county attorney's office to opt in on the Kane County versus U.S. HILT reimbursement lawsuit. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt.
Who seconded it?
Mac seconded. Thanks, Matt.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate it. Shad, we're just 5 minutes behind schedule now.
I can fix that. Sorry.
Not in the direction you want to go, though.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
More time efficient, and that's the goal. That was one more for the radios.
Well, actually, there's still one of those. One for myself.
All right. Well, thank you for having me today. I appreciate it. I always look forward to meeting with you every month. I'll be brief.
Excellent.
I know you're meeting with Todd Hurt today. He'll have an update on the status of the bids for the siding on the station there due today, and then he'll come in this afternoon and meet with you. So I'm not sure what the latest is on that. Emergency incidents in June. There were 14 incidents. And then you'll notice there were 5 in Bondurant. It's getting to be that time of year, a lot of tourism traffic and increase motor vehicle incidents up in the canyon up there. So that's normal for us, but it's just now that I've been here long enough, I can definitely see seasonal adjustments in the kind and type and severity of the incidents that we have, and whether they're structure fires or car wrecks or whatever it is. Fire investigations. We had one fire investigation last month. It was for a camper fire in Willow Lake. And they did the investigation and ended up being a total loss of the camper. Public education. Actually, we've been staffing a lot of prevention booths here, with Rendezvous and with the fair coming up. And we're doing very well. Not only are we staffing the booths, but we're getting new volunteers. We got a fire prevention booth sit there, but there's a sign up for new volunteers. And at the end of Rendezvous, we had 18 new signatures that are interested in joining the new fire department or join the fire department. Now, of those 18, how many actually submit an application and get involved? You don't know. But that's a very positive outcome of setting those booths up, is that we got 18 interested people. So. Our FireWise program is still going strong. The FireWise coordinator, Willis Day, he's had a lot of meetings this summer. Specifically, he just got done last weekend meeting with the Hoback Ranches on Saturday. He took the recommendations of the Healthy Forest Group and the collaborative, and he's trying to make some progress with the Homeowners Association up there, Service Improvement District, I'm sorry. They received that presentation very well. We had representatives from Forest Service, BLM, Park Service that came down and talked about the health of the forest up there and recommendations to help mitigate potential wildland fire impact. So I think that was received well. He also met with Sylvan Bay, had a similar meeting with them. Didn't have any mapping or anything, but did have a lot of public education and talked to them about things they can do to help minimize their risk around their homes there as well. So he's doing very well. Smoke detectors, we installed 25 to 30 smoke detectors in 7 homes in Daniel, Big Piney, and Pinedale last month. That smoke detector program just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I'm really pleased with that. I think that's one of our successes of our prevention program. Training, we're just finished up with the last of this year's Recruit Academy. So the graduation was just completed here. Was it last Monday, a week ago? So we finished up all the live fire training practicals and everything that was necessary there. We also did all fire days last month. That's when we do all the cooperative effort with our the Forest Service and other responding agencies to get everybody on the same page about how would we respond to a wildland fire, whether it be on private or federal jurisdiction, and how do we work together, make sure our communications work, and we have common expectations. The 13 state tests administered, that was part of the culmination of the Recruit Academy. Training facility usage, we used it for 189 hours last month, so training facilities being really strong. Health and safety, we're just finishing up the last of the stress tests. Those are the few remaining stragglers that didn't get done when the regularly scheduled stress tests were completed. The health and safety officer, he gets involved when we do training and tries to make sure the firefighters are physically fit and that we're not, you know, overexerting anybody and that overstressing or anything there. And so his involvement is pretty critical to the success of the safety of those firefighters. Mike Straw, our health and safety officer, he's been working really closely with Sublet Center, Rendezvous Point, and the Pioneer Center to develop evacuation plans. We had an incident, you recall, well, it's been 6 or 9 months ago, that we ended up having to do a small-scale evacuation of the Aspen Center there. And based on that, we wanted to make sure we have a pre-plan in place that in case if we truly needed to move very many of those residents, that we had a, you know, transportation and, you know, where they're going to stay at and how we're going to take care of medications and the whole works. And I know that you've already had a meeting with them, so I know that we're progressing on that, but there's quite a bit that goes into that plan to make sure we've addressed those questions before the incident occurs.
Chad, I think, if I can interrupt just for a second, I got a call from a gentleman in Afton regarding this, and in the next 2 weeks, I think there is going to be some kind of generalized meeting with all the parties interested in terms of moving forward on this.
Good. Yeah, I haven't heard that, but yeah, we're absolutely willing to meet with them and make some progress, so that's good news.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Mike's been working, you know, now that we've successfully completed the EMT class with several of our firefighters, he's working to update our first aid kits and make sure they've got the tools and equipment they need to increase their level of service. Our cooperative service meetings, that's, you know, again, I mention this every month, but I try to make sure that, you know, we're reaching out and collaborating with all of our partners, both internal and external. One thing I want to bring up is that the County Fire Wardens Association was called the Rural Fire Association. They met with me a couple of months ago, and they would like to host a regional training. And I just mentioned All Fire Days occurred here last month. What the ask is rather than doing it county by county, they thought it'd be beneficial if not only if we partner with our federal partners, but we ask our surrounding counties to get together and increase the scale of the All Fire Days. And so I'd like to move forward with that. We're looking at hosting All Fire Days in 2020 and inviting all the Western States County Fire Wardens to bring their firefighters over. I'd like to host that here in Sublet County, and we're just beginning the initial planning for that. But I think the intent is right now is to take the success that we have with our annual All Fire Days cooperative training that we do and just increase the scope of that to invite our surrounding counties as well. So I just wanted to make sure the commissioners are aware that that's the direction I'd like to go with that training. And it'll be a one-time deal, and then after that, then it'll move somewhere else in the state. But I think it'd be beneficial to everybody if we show the leadership and take the first step and offer to host that training in 2020. This will be the first time it's happened to this scale.
Well, thank you for taking leadership on that. That is a chance to really show what we can do here and benefit other firefighters in other states, so yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, ma'am. And I'll keep you in the loop. Right now, it's just the initial idea has been developed, and so we got until 2020 to, you know, implement the final plan. But as we progress, I'll keep the board involved and make you aware. All right, so I don't have anything further. The volunteer hours, you see in June, we had 225 volunteer hours. That includes, you know, the catfish fry and those kind of activities. All right, moving over to the radio system report.
Mr. Chairman, yes, quick interruption before we go to the Harris. I attended the graduation, the recruit graduation. I think we had 9 new recruits. Very impressive. I mean, they were... It was a formality. They actually take the oath of office, and nothing but impressive, Chad. It's a great job on doing that and recruiting the number of people you have. And I left there feeling it was one of the best events I've been to for a while. So I really felt good about it. So thank you.
Thank you. I sincerely appreciate that feedback. Thank you for that.
Terrific. Okay, on to SERS.
So the radio system update, we're continuing. We do a phone conference every 2 weeks with all the project managers and interested parties. Those are basically progress reports where we try to make sure that everybody's on the same page. Those are actually being fairly productive. We were supposed to have submitted our FCC licenses on July 15th, last Friday. That didn't happen, but I've been in close communication with the project manager, and he assures me that all the information that we need will be submitted this week. So I'll let you know more. that's one of the major milestones that I've been looking for, is to get those FCC licenses applications submitted. So fortunately, that didn't happen last week, but I fully expect it will this week. No guarantees, though. do you have a question? Okay. We're currently waiting on the site plans from Harris for the tower modifications. They did submit the site plans that were necessary for Kismet and Hogsback, and then I'm still waiting on the one on White Pine, but as soon as I have all the information from Harris in hand, then we move forward with the lease modification applications to, you know, do the slight adjustments that we need to on all the towers. I don't foresee any problems there, but we're just kind of waiting for the schematics that were necessary to submit that information to the federal agencies. So we're making good progress there with our project. Each one of the towers, White Pine is we were waiting for that paperwork. I expect to submit that this week. Progress has been favorable on the White Pine Tower so far. The Kismet Tower, we were able to get up there and do some hazardous fuel reduction. There were some problems with some trees that presented a risk to the critical infrastructure of the communication site, so we were able to get up there and mitigate that. We were waiting for that site plan. We just got that submitted to us last week, so we'll give that to the BLM. We did reach out to the Miller for the easement and got approval to get up there and do what we need to do to make sure we didn't get any trucks or anything stuck.
We talked a little bit with Billy about that this morning.
Okay, good. Hogsback Tower, again, we were waiting on that site plan, so we received that, and that was the only thing we were lacking to submit to the BLM for allowing the extension on the tower that we needed to have. The Marbleton SO Tower, I know we met with you a couple weeks ago, and Dave Smith had talked about what to do with the concrete. Dave has reached out, and he's got three different concrete companies, local companies, that are going to meet with him Friday this week and take a look at the build that needs to be done and submit a bid for us to get that work done. And then as soon as the foundation's set in place, I mean, go ahead and build the tower. The tower's ready to be installed. We're just waiting for the concrete on that. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll actually have some good progress in the new Marlton SO building down there. And then the Enterprise Tower, I'm just currently waiting on a counteroffer back from the Enterprise folks. And once I have that in hand, then I'll meet with the board, and we'll have some more information and see what direction we need to take with that. So the summary is we're continuing to make good progress, and I'm pleased with where we're sitting right now. And I don't see any major obstacles that I'm concerned about right now. Everything's coming together the way we anticipated.
Good. Let us know if you need us to help you in a meeting on the White Pine Tower.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just let us know when that is.
Okay.
It doesn't have a whole lot to do with SERS, but we used to have a tower and a building out on Aston Ridge, out on the Pate place. We since abandoned that. The tower and the building itself have actually little to no value. We can't take that building, use it someplace else. The parts and pieces on the tower are antiquated, 1960-something,
67.
Such. So basically, we just abandoned that site. Papes would like something from us in writing saying that we abandoned that, and they can do whatever they want with the building and the tower that we left there. So we need to come up, Matt, with some type of a, we don't want it anymore here, you can have it, type letter.
sure, that's no problem.
Okay, you can chat with Mary a little bit and get all the particulars and the what fors.
Okay, and there's no objections from the commission or Shad or anybody from the county that we relinquish this equipment?
Anyone? There's no equipment. It's just a tower and an empty fiberglass building.
And moving that stuff, I've heard, is not an option.
Yeah, won't do us any good.
Sounds good.
This is on the way to Jackson on that on that ridge. Is that where it's at?
The one on the right-hand side, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The state's got a tower up there also.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. private land owned by the Papes.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's it, Chad. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your persistence.
Thanks, yes.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Sheriff Lear, as long as you're here, should we take care of your business before we get into a conference call?
Yeah, you bet. I'll try to be quick. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheriff.
So, for the most part, rendezvous was pretty uneventful, which was great.
Except for you.
Yeah, curling iron. Dermatologist.
It wasn't a scrap.
No.
Daughter beating.
Yeah, rest of world was just the rest of the county stuff. We had 14 arrests over the last week. 43 in the jail. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's it. It's we're swimming in inmates.
Lots of meals.
Yes.
What's the capacity?
Oh, yeah. So actually, I think our capacity is something in the mid 50s, 54 to 57. However, it's been interesting because keep separates, you know, the female male.
Right.
It makes it a little bit more difficult. So we've actually had to send one out to Lincoln County to house for us because we were out of room. But should be getting that one back here. We'll release one today or tomorrow, and then we'll be back to housing everybody.
Yes.
So, the only thing I have search and rescue related, Johnson County really appreciated our team, the helicopter. Everybody was tickled pink on the recovery efforts over in Johnson County on the hiker that fell. So.
As I told you, there will be no reimbursement from the state, but still, we will bill Johnson County for the use of the helicopter.
The initial call out that we went over to help, that will all be reimbursed by the state. It would just be the recovery last week that the state doesn't reimburse for search and rescue. And then another question, so... Air Resources approached Kenna, their heli manager. They have been asked by Virginia Tech College to assist in retrieving some dinosaur bones over on the other side of the mountain between Lander and Du Bois. They're waiting. All they need is a yes or no answer. I mean, it really doesn't affect us. We're still priority. It would be a few hours this Saturday. Two loads, so just a yes or no answer.
Yeah, so. use the helicopter.
So,
wait a minute. Don't you owe me?
The only problem we run into is, remember, we used to rent the helicopter to the insurance companies to go in and pick up wreckage and stuff, and we got ostracized for that because we're competing with private enterprise.
With private helicopter people.
Yeah. That's the only issue.
Yeah. You know, actually that is a good point. But at the same time, if it helps us pay for our helicopter, you know, if we can.
So what's the deal going to be then for us? He's going to use our helicopter.
Yeah, so it's the same as it would for any other, like when we allowed YDOT to use it last year up in Alpine Junction for the slide for equipment and stuff. We charge them the regular amount for the hours used.
But the difference is that we're not working for a governmental agency.
Is Virginia Tech a state school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have a problem with it.
Would it be considered a recovery?
just a little late.
It's a little late, but it's still a recovery. You
know, it's probably really, that's the appearance.
Probably, you know, 300 or 400,000 years too late.
Yeah, but
historical recovery.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I will, I'll let
gentlemen, if you, do anybody else have any issues?
I see both sides of it.
Thank you.
Where's the closest private contractor helicopter?
Well, these guys are, I don't know where the Air Resources
are, Utah. And so they've actually, they've contracted with them in the past to do this. They are out of helicopters with all the fires.
Air Resources is contracting with the company that we use for our helicopters.
No, Air Resources is the company we contract
with. So Air Resources is our company.
Virginia Tech is contracting with Air Resources.
But their helicopters are tied up anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
They're fighting
fire.
Ours is the closest.
Ours is one.
So is it a contract with Air Resources or is it with us?
No. So the Virginia Tech, this is between them and Air Resources.
So we're not in it.
We're just cutting loose our helicopters.
Right. But we get reimbursed for that. For that usage.
They're going to prorate that time.
Correct.
And take it out.
Yep.
That makes more sense.
Whatever we can do to help with our costs.
Okay. All right. Yep. All right. So, yeah, that's all I had. The event's coming up. Bicyclists should start showing up today, the Tour to Wyoming. So we see them down in Big
Piney.
Now,
they're not staying here.
They're staying in Big Piney.
Piney.
Yep, tonight. Gotcha. Tonight, the 17th and 18th, and leave tomorrow the 18th. They'll be coming through here tomorrow.
They hit it.
So they'll come through Daniel Junction and then go up through the Hoback and then through Alpine Junction back over to Afton.
Okay. So we won't even see them. They'll hit Daniel and take a left.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Any questions, concerns, public?
Anything for comments? Sure.
I think
all right.
So.
Thank
no.
You.
No, all good.
Right. Great.
Thanks, sir. Casey.
Thank you.
Appreciate
see you
it.
Guys.
All right.
All right. Are we calling Joanne or is she calling us?
We're calling her. Tom, have you got her phone number?
Yes, I do. Give me a second.
Please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Joanne, this is Mary Langford from Sublette County, and we're calling you for our conference call. It's almost 10:30. We'll give you a couple minutes. We're going to call you back again. Thanks.
Do you have some business for us, Mary, in the meantime?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I have a bond for the treasurer for the library board, and it's just a blanket bond that doesn't, it bonds the position, not the person. I don't know how that works, but anyway, okay. I have a bond for the library board. And then I have also a resolution to designate the Bank of Jackson Hole operating as the Bank of Sublette County in Pinedale as a depository for our official depository for our funds.
Okay.
And you need a motion for that one.
That one.
So moved.
Second.
Well, you don't need that. You need to pass it back.
You guys need to stamp it, though.
Yeah. But I need to read it so I can make the official motion.
Correct.
It has been moved and seconded that we adopt the resolution to accept and pledge public deposits to the Bank of Jackson Hole, operating as, what is it, the Bank of Sublette County?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As an official depository for county funds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. No signature, please.
Just stamp it on the back, on that back page is good. I believe maybe a meeting or so ago, I had advised you that I've been receiving copies of applications to the Wyoming Oil and Gas Commission from Pinedale Energy Partners Operating LLC. I don't know what the deal is with this. We've never received these before. They sent them certified. There's a number of different applications they have. I have them if you'd like to look at them. I'm not saving them for anything. They eventually, if, you know, there's leases or whatever comes of this, it officially gets recorded, but I have them available if you'd like to look.
Okay.
Those are people that have applied to be on the Oil and Gas Commission?
No, it's Pinedale Energy Partners applying for leases from the Oil and Gas Commission.
Leases from, okay.
Yes. They're drilling in space. They're drilling leases.
On state land.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Then I have a resolution from the last meeting, the planning and zoning amendment that you guys granted to Big Country Outfitters, their zone change that was done. This is the resolution. You've already adopted it and everything. You just need to sign it so we can record it. I'm going to quit because we're 5 minutes late now.
Okay. You still have any more? I mean, she wasn't ready when we called.
Yeah,
she can wait for us. Well, finish.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I have a resolution that I want to propose for the board's consideration, and it is a resolution to establish August 3rd, 2018 as Policy Hagenstein Day, in recognition of his 91st birthday, but also for his dedication and service to the residents of Sublette County and the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Chairman, I so move we approve.
Second. It has been moved and seconded that we adopt resolution number 18-100335N. It is a resolution adopting August 3rd, 2018 as Policy Hagenstein Day. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. How many years did he serve as
county commissioner?
Commissioner.
Eight, and he served
two terms,
and it was back in the 70s. He was here. The highlights, really, of Paul's commissioner life were the construction of the jail, which was this stuff over here, that jail, as well as he was here during all of the birth of zoning and the comprehensive plan and planning and zoning office and all that stuff.
Oof, so exciting. He was served at the same time as Mike Steele.
I'm not sure. 78.
Yeah. 78.
Yeah. Yeah.
70.
Yeah.
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 Removing my bridge too.
Yeah. So, yep, so that was Paul.
All right, what else?
I have a contract this was drafted actually by Matt. This has to do with Greenwood Mapping, our GIS guys. So there's two copies here. It's the contract that would cover, the scopes to provide our GIS services as he has in the past. It would take us from July 1 here through June 30 of 19, so it's for the next year.
Okay.
Two copies.
Okay. contract for services with Greenwood Mapping.
Motion?
Yep.
I make a motion we accept the contract for services with Greenwood Mapping.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded that we accept and renew the contract for services between Sublette County and Greenwood Mapping for our GIS projects. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Where did we end up on our, what we were deciding we were going to do on our mapping?
Janice will talk to you this afternoon about that. We are ready to do the aerial, and right. The aerial actually should start in the next week or so.
Right.
But she's going to come talk to you about the oblique part.
Right.
So.
Okay. Did we put enough money in our budget if we wanted to do the oblique part?
Yeah.
What's our bang for the buck going on?
And I have.
Right. She'll explain.
She's going to talk to us about that.
So. I have two more things. At the last meeting, you guys asked me to survey the clerks in the state about newspaper costs. Yeah. I've got three more counties to collect, but I've. About completed that, and I'm cool. I'll provide the survey to you as well as provide it to the clerks, but we're still winning, so.
Very nice.
And then the last thing is that I received last week an application for a renewal scholarship from one of the local kids. Renewal scholarship applications were due the 11th of June. And we made those awards on the 17th, or the, whatever it was, 19th or 17th of June, that particular meeting. Money was funded and budgeted. I advised her, the letter specifically in bold print says that we don't accept late applications.
Yep.
I told her, yeah. So.
The explanation was, oh, do you have my new email address?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
But the one we talked about with extenuating circumstances.
That one, you renewed that one.
We renewed that one.
You renewed that one. Yeah.
This one, there are no extenuating circumstances.
And that's too bad, but at some point in time.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's straight out sad. Yeah.
The sad part is that this kid's going to be a senior in college this year.
Last year.
Yeah, she'll be flipping burgers, trying to get through.
3 years and don't get it.
So, like, it's not like they haven't been through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Part of growing up, I guess. Grow up
sometimes. Going back.
Yeah.
Going backwards.
Part of adulting.
Like yeah.
That's what happens when you don't have a draft.
You won't try.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, some days I'm tempted to say I'm done adulting. Come find me in my tree fort.
It's up here if you want. Can you see that or you want the other one?
Oh, yeah. Make there a small hand tall. Wait. Okay. I'm just helping try it.
Special number?
No, I am.
This is Joanne Hovis of Columbia Telecommunications. Please leave me a message.
Just tell her we tried.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Is that the only number you have, Tom?
Joanne, this is Mary Langford again. It is now 10:40.
We're going to continue with our
meeting. We're going to continue with our meeting.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Let's move on to paying some bills and do some old business then.
I should know there's a time difference.
No, they're pretty aware of all that.
They should be.
Well, it is.
All right. We'll let you start the bills, Commissioner Rawhauser, and you can sure start with old business.
I think the only thing that I have is I attended the meeting with Joel with the Forest Service talking about the rocks, which we've all been talking about the rocks. And,
there you go.
That was...
Can't possibly be
I bet it is.
Hi. Is it Joanne? Okay. Yeah. Hi, Joanne. How are you? Good. I'm going to put you on our... Oh, go ahead. That's our... Hang on. I'm putting you on the speaker. So, Joanne, we're in public session right now, or open session. All of the five commissioners are here, as well as our local newspaper and some of the members of the public. So, here we go.
Great. Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry I'm not there with you in person. It was a pleasure to be in Sublette County last week, and I just wanted to where we are thus far and our recommendations for next steps going forward. I think the very quick analysis of this is that the outcome of the RFI process is that we believe there is enough promise, and we received a number of substantial and very thoughtful responses to the RFI to merit continuing to explore this option and to go forward with potentially developing the public-private partnership. We recommend that the commission consider doing this in a way that mitigates and reduces your risk entirely, as what we are doing is exploring the market. So we are not recommending that you commit funds immediately or that you begin to spend money to build infrastructure immediately. Rather, what we recommend is that in light of the very positive responses we received to the RFIQ, that you proceed with the state and federal grant applications that we have been preparing for you that are substantially complete already and that we can report to you on in some detail, and that assuming that those are successful grant applications, we are can't promise anything, but we are optimistic about the potential outcome. And if they are successful, then there's a pretty substantial amount of state and federal funding to support the effort. And the grant applications do not commit or obligate you to anything if you decide not to go forward at any point, you are not obligated to build anything, but this hopefully would put you in a position where there is considerable funding coming from federal and state governments to support the effort, in addition to the funds allocated by the towns and also the county. At the same time, we would recommend starting to develop a request for proposals for a private partner, because the RFI responses were strong enough that it merits trying to build a concrete deal and a negotiation that sets the terms of the public-private partnership so that you can see that we can try to negotiate for and ensure that the terms are favorable to the public sector goals that are anticipated here. And so those are the various steps that we think are worth taking in the short term. If I can, I'd like to just take 2 minutes to summarize what we saw in terms of the RFI responses and why we are optimistic on that basis. Just quickly, I'll say we got 6 responses to the RFI. One of them came from a company that was just proposing to sell you services, so we discounted that one. But the other 5 were pretty credible responses, and they came from All West, CenturyLink, Silver Star, Union Wireless, and Visionary. As I said, 5 out of 6 were quite weighty, and they reflect consideration of the county's goals, and all 5 of the 6 companies have track records in broadband, and many of them have track records in public-private partnerships in broadband. They were all different to each other, and we have a memorandum for you that will kind of summarize each of them and give you that information. And so you have a sense of the different options that have been proposed. But several of these, the vision was that they would add their own capital, lease from the county and the towns the infrastructure that would be built with the public funds, including presumably the federal and state funds, and that they would make commitments around service levels, particularly to businesses within the county for economic diversification purposes, such that there would be a new level of service available to businesses in the three towns, as well as connections back to the internet itself. In one case, the respondent didn't actually seek a partnership. They're just planning to invest themselves. But in that case, of course, the county would not have any influence or control over where the investment happened and whether it met the county's goals for infrastructure or economic development. We would recommend allowing that process to proceed and at the same time seeking to build a public-private partnership relationship with a bidder through an RFP process. The final piece of what we would recommend from a strategy standpoint is that while building this infrastructure, hopefully with state and federal funds and with a private partner to operate it, while all of that would, we think, get absolute world-class, best-in-class services to the businesses and hopefully the homes in the three towns, we think there will also be an additional strategy for getting, through public-private partnership, for getting grant funds to serve some of the more remote residential premises in the county. And this is another grant program through USDA that we have investigated and where we think that a private partner would be eligible. This grant opportunity opens up early in 2019, hopefully after the county has selected its private partner, and part of the carrot to the private partner to come in and invest in the county would be that the county would support the private partner's grant application to get USDA funds to build to more remote residential areas that are not currently served with broadband. So we're hoping that building a strong public-private partnership strategy will not only benefit the three towns, but also benefit other parts of the county, both because there'll be backbone fiber there and because it opens the door to these other grant opportunities. So quick summary of the recommendations. We recommend that we begin follow-up discussions with the RFI respondents. We recommend that the county approve the filing of the grant applications, which is a no-risk strategy in our view. We recommend that the county facilitate and encourage the respondent that says it's planning to invest and build some broadband in Sublette County, and that was Union Wireless, and that the county also release an RFP, a request for proposals, for a private partner who is interested in the explicit partnership that the county has in mind for the public funds to build fiber optics. And then finally, we recommend building the strategy and collaborating with a private entity for these USDA grant applications for next year to serve some of the more remote residential premises. And let me stop there. That's a summary of what where we think things are and how we would recommend proceeding.
Okay, thank you, Joanne. This is Andy Nelson. And Joanne, just real quick then, does all of this still fall within the contract that we have with you, or are we looking at extending your contract, more money involved? How does this play out?
It's all within our existing contract. We're not even close to extending the existing contract, and the grant applications are substantially written. So I anticipate that there's considerably more work that we'll do under this contract given what we've spent thus far.
Okay. Do we have a not to exceed amount in that contract?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right, discussion, gentlemen, here on proposals from CTC.
It would appear like we probably need a motion to move forward as recommended by CTC. and see what we get for RFPs? Is that, you think?
Yeah, you're talking about developing the RFPs, but not necessarily sending them out, or developing them and sending them out?
We can support you in whatever way is useful. We can, you know, I would anticipate that we could write an RFP very quickly. As far as sending it out, we can certainly handle and manage all the administrative elements of it. We would, you know, obviously just want the commission to authorize going forward. But an RFP, I think, like any public procurement, in this case would be not something that you are locked into. Like our whole strategy here is very much to give you flexibility and opportunity to explore this, and hopefully the opportunity to successfully apply for grants and secure them and build a public-private partnership. But in the event that the funding did not come through from the federal or state grant, or if any other barrier came up, an RFP would be framed in a way that you are not locked in. So there's a low risk approach.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little better. I just feel like we're in a Western flyer headed downhill with no brakes.
I very much understand that, and I can promise you I am an extremely conservative consultant, and we would not at this point advise you to make commitments that you did not have flexibility on, given that there's still more information to be developed. And you know, I think the critical pieces of information that you would want before you made a final commitment are, number one, will you get the state grant? Number two, will you get the federal grant? And number three, will you be able to secure a public-private partner contract with a private entity that meets all of your goals and needs and mitigates your risk? And once we have all of that information, then you would be in a position to make a binding commitment if you so chose. But without that information, I would never recommend it. So hopefully our guidance keeps you on level ground rather than heading downhill without brakes.
Okay. Thank you for that, Joanne. So that's exactly what we would need, is a motion to authorize CTC to proceed forward with their recommendations. We've been reassured that that's within our existing contract that we have, and that we do have a not to exceed amount.
And Mr. Chairman, I would also like the motion to specify that we do not commit any additional funding until such time as we have state and federal grants.
So
in place.
Yeah, so if that would be in whoever's motion at the same time would be
I'll
good.
I'll try and get that all in there.
Okay. All right.
I'm willing to.
Did you have a comment before you went to a motion?
No, I think we can just make it in the motion.
You're ready to make it.
So I would like to give Joanne in this motion permission to move forward with the RFP, to write it and submit it to us for approval, and then release it and manage it from there. And the grant, to move forward with the grant writing process.
Okay.
What was your point, Joel? I forgot already.
And do so in a way that does not commit us to any funding until such time as we know what grants are available.
No commitment on our part until the other parties are in play. Does that cover it?
Okay.
Of any funding. That's kind of a weird one.
Yeah.
It's no commitment and no further spending on our part.
Oh. Yeah, I'll paraphrase that.
Yeah, as work that over.
After you make your official motion. That was it?
Okay. That's a weird one, yeah.
A little doubt. Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay. Just making sure. Okay. It has been moved and seconded that we authorize CTC to proceed forward with their recommendations on grant applications, RFPs, and contacting the five RFI proposal people, and to continue to develop a strategy as presented, with the assurance that no money is expended until further notice. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think the key here are the big players, which whether it be the state, whether it be the federal government, whoever, and they're the ones that we have to wait for them.
Yeah.
But they're waiting for us right now to do the RFP. And if we get that done, then we can see whether we're going to go forward with this or if we're not.
We receive that and we have all the information, then we can make an educated decision. Okay. All right. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. So proceed forward, Joanne.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the guidance, and I look forward to seeing you all again soon.
Okay. Hey, Joanne, a couple of questions here before we turn you loose. Matt?
Joanne, this is Matt Gaffney. We met last week in my office. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much. Any time frame on the submittal of the grants and when the county may hear back?
Yes. So the federal grant we would anticipate submitting within a number of weeks. We are just collecting the final letters of support from local businesses. The state grant, we are working on, it actually leverages a lot of the writing we've already done for the federal grant, but it requires a full business plan, and we're working on that currently. That grant application, we are told, will be greatly strengthened by the potential of a private partner. So we would like to get the RFP out as quickly as possible so that that grant application has more concrete information about the partnership. But the submittal of the state grant is probably in the October timeframe. But we'll come back to all of you with more detail around that before that. But I would say we've probably written 70% of the state grant already and almost all of the federal grant, and it's just a question of the support and getting them in a timely way.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much.
Commissioner Noble, you had a comment or
no?
No. Joanne, this is Andy Nelson. One last thing that I might respectfully submit is we meet in our public meetings every first and third Tuesdays of every month. And if you folks would like to come and visit with us, give us any reports, anything like that, we would ask that you'd give us a little bit of heads up and that you schedule those meetings to be on either first or third Tuesday of every month so that we can continue to conduct business in an open and transparent manner.
Yes, that sounds great. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joanne. I guess that's it.
We're done. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Joanne.
Thanks, Joanne.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Time out?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to roll the business?
Yep.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
We're back on schedule.
Yeah.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, bad. Kind of got away from us there for a while.
But
back on schedule.
Working it around. Did you notice how quiet I was doing that
myself? I was going to comment to you that you have progressed greatly in your ability to be quiet.
I was multitasking. Now I'm focused on one thing right now, and it's making noise with this.
An assistant attorney.
I've seen him before. Okay.
You want to pause that?
Sure, if you want.
Until we get back in.